This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
What's going on? Welcome back into the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. Sports talk on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leaders, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We have a pair of games on ESPN 1320 this weekend. On Saturday at 9 a.m., you can tune into Clemson at North Carolina, a little college football action. On Sunday at 9:30, that's when we kick off our coverage of Raiders at Colts.
The Baltimore, the Indianapolis. Damn it, he got me now.
Oh no.
Catch the Raiders versus the Baltimore Colts in a 1981 battle of the Titans.
Oh, actually, the 82 Raiders were really good. 82, 83 Raiders. A little Marcus Allen, Lester Hayes. Mike Haynes.
Was that Jim Plunkett,
Jim Plunkett?
They shout out. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that team was pretty solid.
My grandma went to high school with Jim Plunkett.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He went to James Lick High School. She went there too. I know that. So yeah, I'm pretty sure they went to the same high school.
Well, they had Todd Christensen too.
I didn't know that.
He was good. Good stuff. Know your Raiders history.
There you go.
I don't know if I could go back and rattle off a bunch of Colts from that year. I don't think I could. Interesting.
Best I can do is Johnny Unitas. Not from there, but as far as old Colts, that's the best I can do you for.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric Dickerson was a Colt, but he's more known for the Rams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Dickerson was on the Rams at that time. Well, let me think. Dickerson's rookie season, I believe, was 83. Yeah.
John Elway, I think, avoided being a Colt.
Well, John Elway is also drafted by the New York Yankees.
Didn't know that. Yeah, I hate John Elway now.
Yep, you can hate John Elway now, just like that. Yeah, is someone in the chat says R.I.P. Todd Christensen. Is he gone?
Let me look that up.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. To be honest with you, I probably need to dive back into 80s NFL. I love that, you know, I grew up watching football in the 80s and huge fan of the NFL. We had training camp yesterday, day three of training camp. Sacramento Kings, actually, they opened the door and they let us come in for like the last 5 or 8 minutes of actual five-on-five scrimmage. That was fun. Like, a lot of running. Like, they are going to try to push the tempo.
What does it look like, James? They went in 60 games this year or what?
I'm not putting a number on it yet. I don't know. My official prediction on the Dunked On podcast was like 36. You know, and maybe that's low. I don't know, but I've also covered a lot of like the sub 33 win teams. So, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm a little jaded, but watching them get up and down the court, we did have this, this moment where, Malik Monk tried to go around Dennis Schroeder, and Dennis Schroeder was holding on to him, and Malik Monk flopped and rolled on the ground, and he got a whistle, and Dennis Schroeder wasn't happy about it. Malik Monk wasn't happy about it. We always hear this term, iron sharpens iron, right? And it's something that, you know, I think when Doug was a player in the Kings in the early 2000s, they practiced really hard against each other. Like, there was a lot of scrimmage. And I think what we're seeing here is, first of all, they have two-a-days, right? Some of these days they're having practice at night where they're scrimmaging. But to get to watch them scrimmage, that's something that Doug has always pushed for. It's like, if you're going to practice like you play. Don't just go out there and do a bunch of drills. Like, go out there and, like, the equivalent of hit somebody. Like, if you're going to go out there, like, by the time you get done with camp, you should not want to play against your teammates anymore at all. You should be looking so
forward.
The old
cliche, oh, yeah, they're so tired of playing each other. They want to get out there and play someone else now.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, I do think that there is something to, like, making each other better during camp. And, you know, if you're Domantas Sabonis, it can make you a better player going up against Maxime Reynaud, who stretches the floor and can hit a three. Going up against Drew Eubanks, who's a hustle guy and doesn't mind, you know, running into you. You know, like the whole group, whether it's Dario Saric or it's Isaac Jones, like every player has a different style. Every player is like, and you should be going out there and battling these guys with the understanding that on a Tuesday night in November, you're going to have to face a team that has three players. One of them might be like one of these guys, and you've got to figure out ways to defend them. So I do think there is something to like pushing each other and giving different looks. I love watching the battle between Schroeder and Monk. And I also love that like this thing in the back of that everyone keeps saying, Domantas Sabonis said it at the end of last season. I think same with Doug. But like, hey, we have got to get a point guard. Like that's kind of a shot at Malik Monk.
It's not. You tried that experiment and it didn't work. Malik Monk is not a starting point guard, at least on this team.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too because Monk yesterday, he talked a little bit about this. He said, like, when you're a point guard, you have to be concerned with way more things than you do when you're a shooting guard.
Yeah.
He's like, so when you're a shooting guard, you just go out there and ball, right? You get the ball, you decide if you're going to shoot it, if you're going to attack the basket, if you're going to get the pick and roll and make a quick move. But when you're a point guard, you're managing the clock. You're making sure that you're distributing the ball around as much as you can. You're calling play sets. You're asked to pick up full court on the defensive side of the ball. He's like a point guard at the NBA level is asked to do way more than a combo guard playing the shooting guard position. You got to glance up at the clock every once in a while to make sure you're not going to get a shot clock violation. But like, there's a lot more that goes into it mentally that you need to prepare for.
It's not as simple as just throwing the dude out there and be like, oh yeah, he's a point guard now because he's playing the position. Like, no, he's a guy playing outside of his role. Like, Malik Monk at that spot just was never going to work. The dude is a six man not at best because I don't want to make it seem like that, but like, to maximize him, yes, he's a six man or a two guy.
I think to maximize him, that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, like, right? Last year, putting him at the point guard position, it's like, yeah, oh yeah, Malik starting at the one, but in reality, yes, they didn't have a point guard to win last season.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're an undersized two, that's okay. You can get away because of his athleticism, right? Monk can get away with that,
yeah,
because he's so dynamic as a playmaker and as a scorer. But, like, watching Malik kind of go through the process of explaining why it is that, you know, it's so difficult. And then the other point that he made, it's like, I've told people this before. It's one thing, you know, you're like, oh man, I really wish he would improve his ball handling skills, right? I wish he would be better with the ball in his hands and like he could do more dribbling, more attacking, whatever. It's one thing to get better at a skill. It's a whole other thing to get better at a skill and get it to a level where it's okay at the NBA level. Because you're going to go up against players who, literally, this is all they've done their entire life. Not basketball, but like, you got guys who have just been great defenders their whole lives, or guys who have just been great shooters your whole life. So you want to improve as a shooter, that's fine. We've seen players improve as a shooter. I you know, like even like a guy like Lou Dort, what he's been able to do to improve himself as a player throughout his career.
Yeah, now he's respectable and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really amazing. But I don't think Lou Dort is ever going to get confused for Doug McDermott as a shooter. Just like Doug McDermott's never going to get confused as Lou Dort as a defender.
Yeah.
Right? So, but you have to have this understanding that you can help players improve, but, you know, Monk's, one of his points yesterday was like, you know, when you step into the point guard role and, but not even at like in training camp, you step into it in the middle of the season. He's like my skill level isn't like, I can play point guard, but guys who I'm up against have played point guard their entire lives. It's what they are. That's who they are. And so for me to step into a point guard role, yeah, there's going to be some adjustment. And not only is there going to be some adjustment, but there's also going to be like years and years of experience that they have at doing this thing that I don't do. And so to expect me to go out there and just be really good at it right away,
it's unrealistic.
Or even ever, it is unrealistic. And I thought it was a good perspective from Monk. And I don't think he was making excuses. I think he was just trying to get perspective.
Yeah, it's reality. And I wonder how much of a difference a guy like Dennis Schroeder makes this year. Because I think we're going to talk about it later on in D'Lo and KC, but like last year, yeah, if you could throw Malik Monk in there, I didn't believe that at point guard and kind of played like they didn't. I wonder how much of a difference a guy like Schroeder would have made last year, because it seems they're pretty excited about him going into the season.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Everyone is super excited about Dennis Schroeder. And again, it's not that he's not going to get confused as Trae Young or De'Aaron Fox or Ja Morant or name or Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, he's not. But what he is he understands the role. He understands the position. He understands how to play defense on the position. He has played point guard since he's like 8 years old. That's all he's done. And so he gets it. And it's not that he's going to be the top end point guard that you're, you know, that's going to lead your team to something greater. But what he is somebody who knows how to handle himself. And it's the same thing with, like, we brought up like Tyus and what's the other Jones?
Trey. One?
Yeah, Trey. Like, both those guys know how to play point guard. Like, they're NBA level point guards, whether it's as a reserve or as a starter, it doesn't matter. They know how to handle themselves on a court. Like, both of them are like some of the greatest assist to turnover ratio players we've ever seen in the league. Like, when a guy's averaging 6 assists and like 1.2 turnovers per game, that's spectacular. And so I do think that the Kings will be better. They'll be more stable than they were at the end of last season at that position because they've got Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, because a lot of last year was, all right, DeMar dribble for 18 seconds, 20 seconds. He doesn't have a shot. All right, pass it off. Levine did the same. Malik did the same. It's just there was no fluidity to it at all.
Yeah, I think what you need Dennis Schroeder to be is an organizer on the court, right? And somebody who is keeping everything like flowing the right way and, you know, checking the boxes, right? It's almost like, you know, like, again, like the head coach has so many responsibilities. Dennis Schroeder's going to have so many responsibilities, and you're sort of the coach on the court when you're the point guard. And then the other guys are allowed to do a lot more than you are. And so I'm intrigued to see how it works out. Again, I don't think that Dennis Schroeder is the difference between last year's Kings being a 40-win team and being like a 46-win team. But I do think that if you had Dennis Schroeder on the team the whole year, and he was your backup behind De'Aaron Fox, and then when De'Aaron Fox was traded, he was ready to step in, you would have been a better team.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Kyrie not in the chatty house says they don't have an actual point guard to back him up though when Dennis Schroeder goes to the bench. Do you think that's an issue? Because, I'd assume you go straight to Keon Ellis or Malik Monk off the bench, and I'd assume Devin Carter's not really going to get too many minutes, and he's not even a real true point guard as it is. Do you think the backup spot's even a real issue?
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue because
I feel like you could play around something like that.
Yeah, plus, you know, Schroeder and Monk are going to play together for certain stretches. And when you have Domas on the court, he plays like such a dominant position for this team that I think you are going to have him do, you know, a lot of what he did in like Beam Team 1 year where he averaged 8 assists a game. I think that's kind of where you're trying to get back to, where the ball's going to, or Beam Team 2. I think he's going to be like the hub like he was previously. And you're going to, you know, again, use Schroeder and Monk off of that. But I don't think there's ever going to be a moment where one of those three isn't on the court, right? Or and a lot of times where two of those three aren't on the court, where whether it's Monk and Schroeder, Monk and Sabonis, Schroeder and Sabonis, you're always going to have two of them on the court, or at least for most of the game. And like, look, I'll keep saying this, like Monk can say that he, like having more responsibility as like a point guard is a problem, but him coming off the bench, it's almost like you're not worried so much about those things as a second team guy. You're coming out there just trying to.
Well, yeah, Malik comes off the bench. He's like, all right, go be Malik Monk then. We need you to go get some buckets right now.
And I kept saying this last year. The problem wasn't as much that Malik Monk moved into the starting lineup and whether he was good or bad, because I didn't think he was really that bad. He averaged like 17 and a half points a game last year. The problem was when you moved him into the starting role, you didn't have another Malik Monk to fill his spot off the bench. And so when you went to the second team, there was no spark. There was no energy. And that's what Malik brings. And that's why I keep saying, like, I would not trade Malik Monk, because I know how good and how dynamic a player he is and how he changes things. We can't sit here and say for a couple of years that Monk is the heart and soul of the team. We say that because you watch it on a nightly basis where his impact on the court means so much to everybody.
Yeah, I hated the whole, oh, the Kings could trade Malik Monk took all offseason. It just never made sense to me. And I guess they have their reasons and thoughts or whatever, but just given what we've watched for the last couple seasons and what he brings to the table and the fact that this team needs scoring, yeah, I hated it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he responds this year with, you know, moving back to the bench and like trying to recapture that role that he was, you know, early last season. But people forget, like, he moved into the starting shooting guard spot alongside De'Aaron Fox before Fox was traded, then moved over to the point guard spot when they brought in Zach LaVine. So it wasn't just, hey, we need you to be a point guard. Like, we need you to be a point guard with a player you've never played with before and who's totally different than any player that we have. That he's totally different than Kevin Huerter, than Keon Ellis, than Chris Duarte, than any other shooting guard that you played with here in Sacramento. He's just totally different in Zach LaVine. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to adjust, make an adjustment on the fly. So I think that they're going to be okay with a pair of these guys sort of like, you know, dueling banjos. And I do think Malik Monk will play a ton of point guard. Although I'll say this too, this is kind of random, but I watched yesterday's practice. And while I just already said, don't put too much in what you saw, Keon Ellis was bringing the ball up a ton. It was not Malik Monk. And then that way, if he initiates the offense, you can already have Monk coming off of a screen or coming off a pen down or whatever it is. He's already part of the action. When he's getting the ball, it's not dribbling the ball down and then, oh, I got to go. He's already in some sort of motion. And when he gets the ball, he's already in like three steps into his game mode. And that's where I think you get an advantage with Monk.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens with Keon Ellis this year too. It's playing for a contract this year.
Playing for a contract. Yeah. I mean, realistically.
I want to see what the Kings think of him too.
Yeah. I hope that he gets his contract before the season starts. We don't have to see that. But either way, he's in phenomenal physical condition. Watching Keon, you're like, okay, like he did his work. He hasn't bulked up, which is just impossible for him. But he does look like quick. He looks.
You can't go wrong with guys who can knock down the three ball and play defense. Like, there's going to be a spot for that guy on any team.
You need more of those guys. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we should have Firas Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy. So hopefully we'll have Firas stepping in. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. We'll see you in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back in. I'm James Hamm. Jesse Tapia is joining me all week long, filling in for Kyle Madsen. It is Fantasy Friday here on The Insiders. We have Firas Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy. What's going on, Firas?
What's up? Is a lot of chaos going into this week, huh? A lot of injuries, a lot of bye weeks.
Yeah.
Not the most straightforward week for fantasy.
Firas, I drafted for my fiance's team this year, and yeah, we got over a bit in that league. We drafted Malik Nabers, Jamar Chase, and Tyreek Hill, and now that team is just, it's over with. I told her, babe, next year we'll just try to be better.
Dude, it's bad, man. You guys still getting married, right?
Oh, yeah, we're getting married next Friday. Good. Still on.
Good, good. I'm glad it's not messing anything up.
Yeah, that's a tough go. That's a tough go.
I'll put in for the buy-in, I told her.
Yeah. We drafted Nabers, and watching Nabers go down last week. Oh, it was tough. Because right when he took the step, you're like, well, that didn't look that bad, but the way he's acting, that's torn ACL, like right away.
It was bad. It was bad. And you know what could have been? Because Jackson Dart on that first drive was looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
He was running around, making good decisions. Nabers had two catches on that first drive for 20 yards. So, you know, things were looking relatively promising. Obviously, small sample size, but who knows? What could have been?
What could have been? I think that's going to be the question for Kyle and I's fantasy team. We should just change our name.
That's a new team name.
Yeah just what could have been. You know, Jesse brought up Nabers there, and it feels like this is a weird year for second year wide receivers. And, you know, a bunch of them are having struggle. We've seen the Marvin Harrison Jr. moment that he had after catching the touchdown, where you could just see the weight of the world being lifted off of him. But he's not the only one who struggled. Like Brian Thomas Jr. has been bad. Nabers is out for the year. Like, what do you make of this? And is this a moment to go get those guys? Or is it a moment to go, okay, maybe they're not going to be the top tier guys that we thought they were?
Yeah. Well, you know, it really depends, you know, on the player. I mean, we have to understand what the largest sample size says. Like, for example, Brian Thomas Jr., he's a really good player. We should probably buy him in Dynasty, even in Redraft too. Ladd McConkey, you know, he is a really, really, really good player. He's unfortunately being out-targeted by Quentin Johnston and being overshadowed by that breakout that's happening, and obviously Keenan Allen as well. So that one's tough, but like, because they're good players, and if you watch the film and you realize that, like, oh, this is a really good wide receiver, they're going to eventually get the targets at some point. So I would personally say that continue to buy them, in redraft McConkey, who knows when he will finally show up. But I will say that, like, he is dirt cheap right now, right? Like, you can get him for a bag of chips. you can, you know, for an overperformer that's sitting on your bench, you can probably swap one for one for McConkey at this point if the other person seems just a little bit more startable, especially for teams who have drafted McConkey but are down in the dumps, you know, at 0-4 or 1-3 going into week 5. But Malik Nabers, continue to buy Malik Nabers in Dynasty, for example. Xavier Worthy looked pretty good last week, you know, on limited snaps. He's not bad at all. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's the thing with him is like it's the same situation as last year, same offensive coordinator, you know, but, you know, hopefully they use him better. That's really been the concern. But Romo Odunze, he's one of the guys that I've been touting all offseason long as the number one wide receiver for Chicago. And that turns out, it turns out that that's, it seems like, you know, he's that guy. And that's just an example of a good wide receiver eventually earning the targets.
I'm still with Malik Nabers real quick. Jackson Dart just got his first start. Looked pretty good. Like you said, two passes to Malik Nabers. Seemed like there was finally going to be something there after Russell Wilson. Malik Nabers gets hurt. Darius Slayton or any of those Giants receivers worth buying into, do you think?
I think so. I think Darius Slayton definitely is somebody who I would be looking at pretty hard, because this week in particular, first of all, you look at last year when Malik Nabers missed those two games. Darius Slayton had 11 targets in each of those games. Over 30% target share in each of those two games. So this same coaching staff, right, they had made a concerted effort, even though Wandale Robinson was the one out-targeting everyone besides Malik Nabers last year, in that period, when he missed time, the clear go-to was Darius Slayton. So I'm perfectly fine throwing him into my lineup this week. You look at, you know, what he did last year when he missed time, but then also the Saints, they've allowed the sixth most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers, the third most fantasy points to perimeter wide receivers, where Darius Slayton spends most of his time. And they've allowed the 22nd most to slot wide receivers. So that means that Wandale running out of the slot might not have the same advantage that Slayton has on the outside.
Interesting stuff here for us. We're, of course, listening to Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy here on the Insiders on ESPN 1320. The Bengals, you've talked about this a couple of times. Go out and get Brown. Go out and get this player or that player, but all of a sudden it feels like that team is doomed. Are you still high on any of their players at this point? And
no,
like, no, you're ready to
I'm not high on anybody. The offensive line is really, really bad. Now, I said this multiple times this week, and I sound like a broken record at this point, but it is worth noting that they went into Minnesota. Right, it's a tough matchup. Quarterbacks really struggle. Young veterans, whatever, they all struggle against Minnesota and Leslie Frazier. And then also What am I talking about? What? I'm going crazy at this point. But not only that, they also went into Denver as well. I meant Brian Flores, by the way. Brian Flores, defensive coordinator for the Vikings. But you know, they also went into Denver, right? Two really tough matchups. So, can things get better? They're going to get destroyed by Detroit this week. Like, we know that. But is there some room? Maybe. For Jamar Chase, it is a much, much better matchup for him this week. And it really all has to do with the corners that he's going up against. He's going up against Terrion Arnold. You know, no corner is allowing more fantasy points per route run against than Terrion Arnold this year. You know, so will the offensive line hold up to the point where they're able to get on the ball? That's the real question.
We'll stick with another team that's been struggling offensively, not probably as badly, but looking kind of concerning now. What do you think of the Texans, CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, and that running back group now?
It's another offensive line problem there. But also, we have a new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, who isn't really getting it all right, you know, to start. You know, what's interesting is that coming from the Sean McVay tree, you would expect a lot more personnel changes, a lot more movement, you know, before the snap, a lot more motion. And we're not really seeing a lot of that, which is surprising. It actually went down from last year from a non-Sean McVay coach, you know. So very interesting. I would love for that to move up. You need more play action as well. That also went down from last year. So this is not something typical that we see from a McVay-style coach, which is something that I was very excited for coming into this year. But I do think they'll get it together. Nico Collins will definitely get it together as well. Nick Chubb obviously struggling, but Woody Marks has looked just fine, you know, behind that offensive line and running the ball. So I think they're getting a little bit better. But I agree, you know, I think this is an issue where CJ Stroud is, you know, I don't want to say he's regressing, and he's a good quarterback, but he's not necessarily elevating his team like he was that we thought he could be capable of after his rookie year.
Yeah, it's tough to watch. Let's get to some of the questions from the crowd here. Let's see. We've got Tyler, Jordan Addison, or Franklin for a flex spot. What do you got?
Oh, man, that is tough. Vikings offensive line is banged up this week, and they're going to be going up against a tough defensive line there. So this is a really tough one. I'm still going to lean Franklin here just by a hair. I'm sorry, I'm going to leave Addison here just by a hair. Torrey Franklin's going up against Cooper DeJean, you know, out of the slot. And the Eagles have given up the fewest fantasy points to slot wide receivers this year. And Cooper DeJean's kind of balling out so far this season. So I'm going to lean Addison by a hair.
All right, we got pick two from Justin. He goes Pickens, Garrett Wilson, Judkins, or Jacoby Myers.
I know Pickens is going up against Sauce Gardner this week, but still going to go with Pickens. He balled out last week. Last few weeks, he's been balling. And Sauce hasn't necessarily been like a shutdown corner this year. He's still allowing a little bit of fantasy points, you know, on his side. So when he's shadowing other wide receivers. So I'm cool with going Pickens. And Garrett Wilson would obviously be number one for me. Garrett Wilson is in your lineup no matter what. He's a top five play this week.
Sweet. Let's get to Eric's question. RB2, full PPR, Chubb or RJ Harvey?
Man, one, you know, got his snaps, you know, go, you know, one of them had their snaps go down last week. The other one had his snaps go up last week, right? Chubb's going down. RJ Harvey's going up. So I'm going to go with the guy whose snaps are going up, and that's RJ Harvey.
Okay.
We got a guy to say, well, are we fully out on Chase Brown? He's going Chase Brown or Jordan Mason?
Oh, both having offensive line issues, but I trust Kevin O'Connell a lot more. I'm going to go Jordan Mason.
Okay. Let's go back to Eric's question. Full PPR. Brian Thompson, Devontae Smith, or David Montgomery in his flex.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr. here. This could be a pretty compelling matchup between the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Close game. I think I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr. here.
Rashid Shaheed or RJ Harvey this week?
I'm going to go Harvey. I'm going to go RJ Harvey again. I'm going to hope that he continues to see, you know, the decent amount of snaps this week, just like he saw Monday night.
We're doing rapid fire questions here with Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy. Make sure you're following him on Instagram. Make sure you're following, you go to upperhandfantasy.com. It's always great stuff. We've got a question from Jay. Woody Marks or David Montgomery?
Oof, man, this is super close. I'm going to lean Woody Marks by a hair. Super
now,
close.
I got to ask, are you thinking Woody Marks long-term here, or are you worried about Mixon eventually coming back?
I'm not worried about Mixon at all. I would operate moving forward with Marks as like Mixon's not coming back this year.
Okay. That works.
Trey Benson, Connor out as well. Which one is Arizona running back are you going with? Half-point PPR.
Arizona running back, I'm going with Michael Carter. I think Michael Carter's going to end up getting the early down role, and Denver Carter's going to keep his role as a passing down back.
Oh, okay. Full PPR, Ramondre Stevenson or DeMarcado in the flex?
I think I'm going to go DeMarcado here. It's really close. He's going to get a little bit more opportunity in Arizona's backfield than he was before. And Ramondre going up against the Bills, like it could be a good matchup, but it's tough. I'm going to lean DeMarcado, especially in full PPR.
All right, which Patriots running back do you like, Trevion Henderson or Ramondre Stevenson?
I'm still going to go Ramondre. He's still getting the, you know, most of the touches and most of the work. I'm going to lean Ramondre by a hair.
We've got a tight end question. How about from Tony, Mark Andrews or Dallas Goedert?
Man, Mark Andrews got the backup quarterback thrown to him. Dallas Goedert's team doesn't throw the ball at all. I think I'm going to go Goddard still here, just by a hair.
And they started doing like variants on the tush push this last week, which I thought was really
several
interesting.
Several passes to Goddard.
Yeah, the little dump passes. So he could, again, have like two catches for 2 yards and two touchdowns.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Better offense.
All right. Zach Ertz or Darren Waller coming off 2 touchdowns?
Ooh. Can Waller continue what he's doing? Maybe. But I'm going to go Ertz with Jayden Daniels back.
Ooh. So Jayden Daniels is back. Okay. We've got Jordan Mason or Henderson at running back.
I'll go Jordan Mason here. Even though it's a tough matchup, even though the offensive line's banged up, there's a good chance that he can rack up some volume in this one.
Are you going Brian, or are you going Judkins or RJ Harvey?
I'm going to go Judkins. better chance of gaining, having some volume in this game.
I don't even know why I'm going to flash this one up on the screen, but I will anyways. Bowers or Waller?
I'm going to go Bowers here. Oh, you know what?
Bowers doing the injury right now, right?
Bowers not practicing on Friday.
Oh.
Today.
Well, that's not
so
good.
So keep an eye out on that. If Bowers plays, I will play him. But if he doesn't, you know what to do.
I'm just surprised that it's someone with like a small Raider Lego like as his avatar is asking if he's going to bench Bowers.
Anyway. Raider fans coming to reality right now.
Come on, Raider fan. That's not you. That's not who you are. Come on.
Our guy Wilsey wants to know, is it safe to cut Joe Mixon at this point?
What was that?
Our guy Wilsey wants to know, is it safe to cut Joe Mixon at this point?
I would probably hold him if I can, just but it doesn't seem like he's coming back anytime soon. Me personally, I'm fine cutting him.
Okay. Charbonnet, Michael Carter, or Tucker? Which one of the three from Norm?
I'm going to lean Michael Carter here. He's actually projected for a good amount of points this week. Tennessee, man, like they just allow everybody to score, any and everybody. Really, really good matchup for running backs. So I'm going to go Carter.
Kenneth Walker or Jordan Mason, PPR?
I'm going to go Kenneth Walker.
Ooh, okay. What do we got? Kendre Miller or Jameson Williams for a flex?
Wow. This one's really close. I think I got to go Jameson Williams here. I am intrigued with Kendre Miller and, you know, his emergence last week alongside Alvin Kamara. I think he's a really talented running back. I think he could potentially take over on early downs, be the better runner in that backfield, as long as he can stay healthy. And they go up against the Giants. So a little sneaky flex play, but I'm going to go Jameson still.
Kyle Renata wants to know if at this point he should bench A.J. Brown for Rico Dowdle.
Oh, I'm going Rico Dowdle. I'm going Rico Dowdle here. You know, if it looks like Chuba Harper's not playing, so Rico Dowdle is going to be the guy, potentially every down. Yeah, I'm going to go with him.
Man, we have a lot of...
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm playing Rico Dowdle over AJ Brown. Absolutely bananas.
That's wild. That is wild. We got a lot of questions here. Jesse, I'm going to go
rapid fire.
Woody Marks, DeMarcado, or Dobbins in a flex spot?
I'm going to go Dobbins.
Dobbins. Oh, wow. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt, which is about this time every year. What should I do with AJ Brown?
You got to hold. Hold. You can start him, but he's no more than a wide receiver 3 right now.
Oof, that's horrible. Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts.
Hurts it is. What do we got? We got Woody Marks taking over Texas backfield, even with Mixon when Mixon comes back.
It's not when he comes back, it's if he comes back.
Okay.
So I wouldn't even worry about this question, to be honest with you. Just focus on Woody Marks, and I would trade for Woody Marks like he would be the starter the rest of the season.
Okay. We got Waller or Mims?
Waller.
You got to pick two. Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, or Judkins?
I'm going to go Myers and Judkins.
Myers and Judkins, A.J. Brown or Wandale?
Yeah, in this situation, I'll go AJ Brown.
Oh, wow.
There was thought there. Poor AJ Brown down right now.
Myers, Sutton, or Keenan Allen. Also, a traded away Jamar and KW3 for Nico and Brees.
Okay, so Myers, Sutton, or Keenan Allen. I'm going to go with Sutton.
Okay.
And then you traded away Jamar and Kenneth Walker for Nico and Brees. That is a big W right there. Huge W. Brees is going to get a ton of work without Braylon Allen in the lineup for the next 8 to 10 weeks.
Okay, so you're heavy in on Brees. Brees Hall.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Huge buy right now if you can buy him before tomorrow.
Sweet, because I've had him. I have him hiding. Well, I don't even know if I'm hiding him. He's playing for me. let's hit one more before we go. Noah Fant or Juwan Johnson?
Juwan Johnson.
Okay, that's an easy one. That was amazing. We got through a ton of questions. Thank you so much for joining us, Faraz. It's always a pleasure having you on every week.
I love coming on, guys. I appreciate it. I hope everyone does well on the fantasy, you know, with their matchup this week. Good luck.
All right, Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy. Make sure you're following him everywhere. Go to Instagram right now and just follow him because he's absolutely spectacular. Faraz, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's going to do it for this segment of the Insiders. We're going to step aside when we come back. Damien and Kenny will be here. D'Lo and Casey, they're going to step in for the handoff, and we're going to hang out, and I think we're going to probably end up talking San Francisco 49ers.
Sounds right.
I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back into the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm, Jesse Tapia, handling all the duties behind the glass over there. And of course, we're joined by Damian Barling from D'Lo and Casey. Casey should be, I just watch him walk the opposite way. I don't know where.
I wish that I could live a life where I had no urgency at all. Just like, I'll get to work when I get there. Like, it's no big deal. I'm going to get my water. I'm going to get
Victory
my snack.
Victory Friday's feeling good.
Like, it's good. Like, I'm sure my blood pressure would be so much better. I might be better at this like stepdad thing if I just had the lack of urgency. He's greeting people. He's saying hi. Like,
there's only five people in the office.
Look, Gio even opening the door for him. Like, look at that, Gio. Oh, bro, the camera's not even on, man.
Come on, bro.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. All right.
Now you got Gio in on this ridiculousness.
What is happening? Oh, we've seen him do these things to chairs before. Inappropriate.
Now you're Joe Brazil walking from camera to camera. Hey, don't come over here, dude. I don't want to be
over here. Let's go.
Oh, goodness.
Let's go.
Did you ever think you would hear this man yell, "Mac Jones, stand up"?
Not after
for those of you
draft day.
Who have listened to this show for the last 5 years, did you ever think you would hear the phrase, "Mac Jones, stand up"?
You used to talk about that man like he was Scotty Barnes.
What's up, Mac?
Wild.
He's so happy right
this
now.
This is embarrassing.
Let's go, Mac.
He's so happy.
No chair is safe.
Oh, God, that's the second time you've done that to that chair, too.
That chair.
Lord.
I don't even want to sit in that chair anymore.
Man,
it's my chair.
Yeah, well.
No, we know.
Hey.
We know.
It's our chair.
Hey, these chairs around here are going to start a Me Too movement if you don't knock it off.
That's right.
Come on, man.
You're going to find them rolling away on their own.
God. Marching out there the way KC acts.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Wow.
Come on, man.
Hey, and I'll say this. As ridiculous as you walking around, getting your snacks and your water, getting Gio involved in your shenanigans.
Shout out Gio. Gio's just trying to work right now.
Gio, poor Gio got to go out to Aftershock with, you know, 15,000 people out there in the mud.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I'll say, for me. You deserve it.
Yeah.
That, no, no, no. Don't say thank you. I'm not talking to you.
No, 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 no. Thank you.
What are you doing?
No, no, no. That game was fantastic.
Woo.
That game was absolutely incredible.
Absolutely. I text Kyle in the early second quarter. I said, that was the best 16-plus minutes of coaching I have seen in a long, long time. Shanahan and Sala in that first quarter, the first two drives by the 49ers, the drive where they dialed up the blitz and got to Stafford, some of the best coaching. At that point, I was like, okay, moral victory time. They did something. I did not think that they would even be in this game at all. If they lose, they lose. But my goodness, what a start to a game. And then to have them hold on was just incredible.
Kyle was in his bag, bro. Kyle was in. And Kyle Shanahan, we got so many game balls we got to give out today.
Yeah.
So many game balls today. I got to start with Kyle
Shanahan. First of all, okay, I'm going to need you to slow down. We've got 4 hours. You're going to have to pay. If you want to do
four hours, if you want to do
a four-hour victory lap, you can. But you're going to have to slow down. Your excitement is going to blow this entire show up by 12:11.
Look, we get a game ball every hour. There's so many. Right.
The game
There's
ball
so
every
many.
Hour. That's fine. You're not wrong.
Kyle Shanahan, bro. Hey,
yeah.
This guy. We talk about it.
Those were the two best coaches in the league last night. You know, you throw Andy Reid up there, but those guys are just incredible.
What's one of the things that we've talked about since we started the show with the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan? I want to see them always have a chance as long as he's on the sideline. I reference Mike Tomlin, right? Like the Steelers. Like it don't matter who's on the roster, no matter what turmoil has been going on or whatever. Mike Tomlin is there, so they always got a shot. They end up being 500 or better every single year. In large part, I believe, because of Mike Tomlin. And I said, I want to see that for Kyle Shanahan. And I felt that way a little bit after the 2020 season with all the injuries and all this other stuff. And then they go win a couple times. Last year, obviously, they were under 500. But this season, Kyle Shanahan has been in his bag, in his play calling bag, in his motivational bag, in his preparation bag, his strategy bag. Like, he has been phenomenal. And last night was just another example of that.
I was asking James earlier, is he front runner for Coach of the Year right now? That award's kind of escaped him. I feel like we gave up on him getting that. But is this year finally the year maybe he finally lands that?
No, because the Baltimore Colts exist.
Damn it, James.
Damn it. He's just minding his business.
No, the Colts are right there.
But you're right. Like, if the Colts, we've seen this.
They're doing it with their,
A coach that we did, a team that we didn't expect to do something, go like 8-8, and all of a sudden Brian Daboll's the coach of the year.
That's why I ask, because like, we bring up
because
the Colts.
You expected them to go 1-15.
Yeah, because you bring up the Colts, and it's like, new quarterback, but they are doing it with their starter. Like Shanahan right now is doing it with his backup as well.
I will say this.
I'm not missing a beat either.
I will say this about that question. This feels like the first time we've actually heard his name mentioned by the media and by people. Like, I know they talked about a little bit on the post game, some of the morning shows and stuff like that. Like, no, Kyle Shanahan. It feels like this is the first time in his tenure we've heard, no, Kyle Shanahan is the front runner for Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. So maybe it just took him playing with the zombie 49ers to get the respect. But he's at the very least getting mentioned. He didn't even get mentioned in 2023. That was the year when they went to the Super Bowl, right? Yeah, 2023. He didn't even get no mention that year.
Yeah.
All year long. So.
Yeah. Well, I think last night you walk into a game and you just look at the sheer volume of injuries and like nothing. They look like they had absolutely no chance at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that second drive, which was like, 14 plays or whatever, they just systematically destroyed a great defense. I thought Jones.
That first drive was pretty damn impressive, too.
It was. But then the second one, you took control. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, look at that. They're not giving the ball back. you're going to have to stop them tonight. And I thought that that was like so incredibly impressive. But Mac Jones, he got hit so many times. He got hit 10 quarterback hits. And he delivered so many passes while getting ran over. I was so impressed by Mac Jones. And I, you know, like, I think the question is going to be, it's not about a quarterback controversy. It's going to be whether he's ready to take over a starting job next year for someone else and whether the 49ers will be able to trade him.
No, he ain't going nowhere.
But that's where I'm kind of at, too.
No, he ain't going nowhere. He's under contract for 2 years. He's going to be a 49er for 2 years. We're not trading him. Mac, buy a home.
Buy a home.
Buy a home.
Someone throws you a second round pick, though.
No, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that in another trade. It ain't going to be Mac Jones. Because number one, Brock Purdy, who is the starter, who is franchise, we don't know if he can stay healthy. We don't know if he can play 17, 18 games, stay healthy for 17, 18 games. You need somebody that you trust and believe in Mac Jones. And if you believe the Adam Schefters, the Chris Sims, the TCs, all this other stuff, this might be the
Bro,
one
you
guy.
You just put TC, Adam Schefter.
Yeah, we're just happy right now.
I mean, you guys saw my tweet last night, right? Like, TC, don't call in. Like,
Oh, you kidding? That my
TC, you calling D-Lo? No,
my DMs are different. Everybody's waiting to hear from TC today.
He can come on and talk on your show. He's not coming on.
Drew Down tries to
put you on hold.
He tries to predict what TC is going to say down to the bros and the check it outs and the D-Lo Casey. Oh yeah, they eagerly waiting for TC to call.
Yeah, man. But
I do want to say one thing about what you just said. Brock did play 15 games last year. Mm-hmm. I think he played 16 the year before. Mm-hmm. So what's happening right now, obviously he got injured against the Eagles. That, you know,
yeah.
you wear it. It is what it is. But I don't think we're at the point of, at least I'm not. You may be different. I'm not at the point of being concerned about Brock Purdy's durability. It feels different right now because he's not a minimum wage quarterback anymore. Mm-hmm. He's CEO. Like he's got the big boy money,
right.
And he hasn't really had a chance to get out there and play the way you'd want him to.
Yeah, and it's not that he's like hurt like Joe Burrow every other year, mm-hmm. but it's one or two games where he's nicked up or you don't know if he's going to play. Mm-hmm. And those games,
they matter.
Those are big games. This could be the difference between a playoff berth and not, or a home field and not. And you want to have a guy that you know seamlessly can get into those games. And then also, if he is hurt and it's probably a 2 week injury, you can feel comfortable maybe giving him the whole 2 weeks as opposed to, all right, you got that 1 week. Now we got to rush you back when you're not 100%. If you got a guy like Mac Jones that you trust to believe in, has shown that he can produce, I'd just rather have him. I'd rather have him as the backup than Brandon Allen.
Yeah. And I would say this too. Like, I know this is weird to say, but it's very possible that Mac Jones was uniquely prepared to play on 3 days rest and against the team that, you know, against the Rams, because he actually has a connection with Kendrick Bourne. I don't know how I missed that Kendrick Bourne and Mac Jones were together forever in New England, mm-hmm. and they have chemistry. They know how to play together. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy doesn't have any chemistry with Kendrick Bourne. We haven't seen that much chemistry with the two of them. It's still heavy reliance on Pearsall. It's a heavy reliance on Juwan Jennings. You take those two out of the equation, and now Mac Jones is throwing to receivers that he throws to at practice, he threw to in training camp, and that he has a connection with from their time together in New England. I don't know that we would have seen the same type of performance out of Brock Purdy, just because it would have been like, all right, now he's got to learn a whole nother receiving core again because all your guys are gone. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a weird twist here that I don't know how I forgot that they had been together in New England.
Well, it's the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the, like, that's
the post-Tom Brady Patriots.
That's a bad Patriots team that you know, couldn't figure, like, that got us questioning Bill Belichick as a coach. That's how bad that team was. And yeah, Mac, that was, it's crazy. I could be wrong. We'll have to ask, I get probably Jake. I wouldn't know who else to ask. That has to be the definitive performance of Mac Jones's career last night.
I don't think he's ever played that good, yeah.
I was like, watching Orzlovsky this morning on he said that's the best Mac Jones, that's the best game Mac Jones has ever played.
I mean, from looking like he, you know, from you talked about the amount of hits that he got to looking like he was hurt, and I don't think Mac addressed. What were they correct? Was it a cramp?
He said it was cramp.
Oh, he did say it was cramp. Yeah. Okay, because I heard him say, he said, you know, I was, you know, there, and I've never had the trainers come out and work on me. And then I realized when, I realized when I rolled over, I was okay. So I popped up and it was like, okay, I'm fine, and ran off. But that's where my clip ended. I didn't hear him say.
I think he said it on the post game.
Okay.
Like with on the field post game. I think so. But I heard that he said he was cramped.
I mean, the fact that he was sitting there eating bananas on the sideline and chugging fluids.
Could you imagine having a cramp with a giant knee brace covering it? Because that's what it looked like.
Having a 285-pound
hit you in the face
brick
again
house
and again.
Land on you
again
with his
again.
Hands up in the air like this. Just all his weight on top of you. Like, no, I can't imagine any of that.
That's tough.
Like, that was wild watching it. It's just standing in like, no. Man, that freight train is coming at you. It's like,
it's also, isn't that the very, 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 very textbook show it in the rule committee definition of roughing the passer?
Yeah. I mean,
or am I?
No, you're right. And I'm not trying to go Cheryl Reeve here, but there were some questionable things going on.
Oh, last night was bad.
There were some questionable
things, man.
Last night
was so bad.
They were seeing things that they weren't seeing. They were calling some things here and there. The illegal hands to the face on Michael Williams. Bro, what?
He had that man right here. And Herb Street was like, I don't see it.
I don't think I agree with that one.
I don't see it.
A PI.
Meanwhile, Al Michaels, yeah, he's got his hands in his face.
Al Michaels didn't know he was calling Rams Niners yesterday.
Al hands in his face, and there's an 8.5-point spread here. What is happening? Thanks, Al.
Hey, look, there's a bird. There's a bird up there. That's there's not a fumble. No, whose ball is it?
And I don't know, Kirk. They're moving the ball up to the 40.
The game is over.
I don't know what's going on.
The game is over, Al.
Wait, that's not Jeff Garcia. What's going on here?
So bad.
Maybe the single worst announcing performance of all time.
So bad. So bad. James, please don't leave me.
We up, baby. We up, baby. Let's go.
I got to get in the car and drive. I don't even. My body is like, you can work out all summer long. The second you start sitting in the car and driving as much as I had in the last week, the body's hurting. I'm like, I did all this work to not be sore. Like, oh man.
Hey man, you gotta work through that like Mac, like Mac 10.
Jesse,
Mac
please,
10
please.
Is the lick. West Side is the click.
Jesse, don't leave me.
Gonna have to go eat 11 bananas, I guess. Before I go,
that felt.
I'm the referee.
I'm just
going to
say I'm uncomfortable.
Night. I'm the referee crew from last night. Just thought of
flag. Oh, yeah.
I thought I heard something.
They're saying it in the chat. He ate 11 bananas on the sidelines. Hey, before I go, McCaffrey, 30 touches. Oh, my God. Are they just like, is it just going to be like week 8 and he just dissolves and like he's no longer a human being?
I don't think they have a choice. Yeah.
But
they tried to get things going on the ground. I mean, he is so good out of the backfield. Mm. Like,
yeah.
Le'Veon was great. I do not think there is a running back better out of the backfield maybe ever than Christian McCaffrey. I mean, in Christian McCaffrey and their passes, but he's catching the ball at the line of scrimmage, a yard from the line of scrimmage, and he's turning it into a 15, 16, 17, 8-yard gain. Technically, it's a pass, but, man, like, if that's how you have to get the run game going by throwing it to him at the line, then fine.
Right.
But he had so many plays last night where it's like, okay, I think the prize picks was 65.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
He didn't get it, but like no 49er fan is upset with his scrimmage yards total.
Well, I'm gonna talk about him on the show too.
Yeah. He had that catch where he went over the middle, caught the ball, turned, and hit the gas so fast because he knew that he was gonna get hit, and he could see where he needed to get to, and it looked like a running back hitting the line, but he's not at the line. He's 10 yards downfield, and everyone is trying to stop him from getting the first down. It's just like, wow, like he's impressive, but. Man, I don't know how he can hold up.
Don't leave.
Mac 10 is the lick. West Side is the click.
Great job, James. I know it's tough navigating everything without Kyle. Thank you for all of the great stuff that you're doing over there at King's Practice, and we'll be tapped into the Twitter account here pretty soon.
Sounds good.
Unless, of course, you want to
stay.
Yeah.
It's a party, baby. It's a party.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.